Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, making life easier. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. Very pleased to have with us direct from the grand opening or the ribbon cutting or whatever you want to call it of the Two Kings Casino.
Yes.
And he still has some money in his pocket. Representative Brandon Cuddy.
Thank you for having me on.
I couldn't resist. How spectacular is that thing?
It is massive. I mean, it's not finished yet, but the floor is open and it's beautiful.
Yeah, so. It is. I mean, I can remember seeing the skeleton of the big hotel that they were building. This is months ago. And what you told me, I mean, I couldn't believe how tall the thing was. What is it, 10 stories or something like that?
You can see it from a good ways away. It's pink. I don't know if that's going to be the color or not, but right now it's pink.
And I thought to myself, what a landmark. I mean, you'll know exactly what's there. And I realized more than ever why their fellow Cherokees fought them in court to stop this, because all the traffic will go right there. Why do they have to go to the mountains?
Right.
I mean, geez. Anyway. That's a whole other story. His name is Brandon Guffey. He's a state representative. But I'll bet you there's a bunch of people who don't know a thing about you. Well, so why don't you tell them a little bit about your background, all right?
Born and raised in Rock Hill. Been married to my wife, actually, a couple weeks. It'll be 23 years.
Good for you.
Both of us Rock Hillians. I was a small business owner, got involved in county council politics for a while, and then moved on to the State House.
There he is. My.
The short and sweet.
Short and sweet. Okay, so speaking of the State House, it was interesting. The first thing I said this morning on Palmetto Mornings is, ladies and gentlemen, we do not have a new state budget in South Carolina.
No.
You guys can't get your act together. What's the problem?
It seems to be a battle between the Senate and the House. You know, we had the scout economic development deal. That's some contention on it. And then there is some contention on homestead exemptions and how we fund them. You know, I think the Senate is trying to push more to use one-time funds instead of, or using non-recurring funds instead of the House, you know, wants to approach it to say, hey, we need to set this up as recurring funds instead of plan out.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? Give them a great big benefit one year and it's not going to be there the next? You want a war on your hands?
Yeah. Well, the Senate's version is, we'll figure it out next year. I don't think we've got that trust yet between the two chambers.
Now, you know, this scout motor thing, we've talked about this a number of times, and I've interviewed the scout people right here. It's very clear to me that the deal to bring scout here was that the state of South Carolina was going to prepare the site, and then Scout was going to build the site. Simple as that.
That's where, you know, everyone talks about the money given to Scout. It wasn't given to Scout. It was building infrastructure that the state.
And so the state apparently blew the budget.
The state got in its own way with multiple agencies. You know, you've got EPA, DNR, holding up agencies. Well, then that makes for cost overruns. But the problem that we have is, you know, Commerce was managing the budget. And I might be on a different side than some of my colleagues, but in my opinion, Commerce was the one who's supposed to manage this project. And for it to go $150 million over, somebody's head's got to roll before I approve any money going to it, regardless if that means we're going to get sued or not. I believe that somebody's got to be held accountable. It doesn't matter if you do your job great 99% of the time. If you make a $150 million mistake, you need to leave.
Yeah. So the question is, the work is done. You got contractors out there that are saying, where's the payment? And the state isn't paying.
Right. The money's not there because all of the delays, and we're not funding. But, you know, in the budget, this is the first time I remember or that I've known of us operating off of a continuing resolution right now. But we got to figure out something for the end of the month, or our teachers aren't going to have the funds that we have promised in the budget.
Well, that's a whole nother story, because really what you guys do in increasing the teacher pay, that's really picked up largely at the local level.
Yes.
Yeah. Most people don't know that. You
Dr.
give money.
Dr. Quinn has definitely gave me an earful about that.
Yeah, that's right. Sheila Quinn, he's talking about from Clover. Yeah. So why is there any debate over we've got to pay these vendors that have done the work for the Scout project?
It's not a debate on that. It's this money was budgeted that we were going to pay, and now it's $150 million more. And the person who's running the project has to go, in my opinion, before we fund it.
Got that. But then during the interim, while you're thrashing this out, go to one of these reserve funds, pull the money out, and pay your contractors.
I could agree with that. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah. I mean, you've put them in the middle.
Yeah. I'm a second-year house rep. I'm nowhere close to Ways and Means yet, so not my decision. I don't think anyone's going to listen to little old Brandon Guffey.
Little old Brandon Guffey carries a pretty big stick down there. Don't tell me that. All right, so that's one of the contentious issues. And then this homestead exemption. You know, you got old guys over here like this that, you know, that $50,000 exemption is not enough. He wants $150,000, and he wants it every year. He don't want it 1 year.
The cost of homes have went up that much. Yeah. I mean, whenever we did the $50,000 exemption, that was reasonable, but homes, you're not, try to find a home for $150,000 now. It's almost impossible.
No, I mean, ask this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he is so old. I got to stop this. I'm picking on John.
My concern about the property taxes is we're essentially robbing Peter to pay Paul. We're just taking everyone's money on the state level and giving it back to local government, right, whereas the focus should be lowering taxes on the local level, so that way we're not having to subsidize it.
Well, that's one of your biggest big debates down there. You've got some excess monies, and you're trying to give it back. How do we give it back?
That's always a good thing, but just like with law enforcement, you know, we had the discussion. Do you give law enforcement a one-year, one-time raise? If it's non-recurring, then we can't make those promises. We've seen what happened after the 2008 crash, and where we lost so many of our state troopers. I mean, we still have not built up. We're talking about DUI laws, insurance, all of this. If we had more law enforcement, we were taking care of our law enforcement, we wouldn't have as many issues that we have.
Well, one of your peers down there, Senator Stubbs, was on the air here just a couple of days ago talking about the fact that I think in your county, we have something like 25 unfilled trooper positions.
Yeah.
25. I mean, that's more than half of what the contingent is for this area, all because you're not competitive on the compensation.
How many people think twice before they hit 80 on the interstate?
Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
And why is that? Because there's no troopers out there. Yeah.
Yeah, I found out my new van. If I put it on eco mode, it doesn't want to go above 80. I thought something was wrong with the van.
All right, well, we know who to look for on the interstate. Okay, so besides the fact that we have no budget, what have you been working on that, I don't know, is it either, you can say it's done, finished. I know there's a couple things we want to talk about, but things that are in limbo that you wanted to see get done.
So much in limbo. So many things die at the last minute. I mean, we just had the HALO Act die. Which states you have to stay reasonable distance away from law enforcement and first responders while they're trying to do their job. You know, that was a big one. We've got what I focus on primarily is emerging technology, because I believe that is what we have to prepare for. And I joke around all the time and say, if I'm the expert in tech in the state of South Carolina, then we failed. Because, you know, I'm a novice at best, but yet everyone looks at me to educate them on these tech bills. So I'm trying to present to have an emerging tech committee to where we can educate more members. We still got plenty of protections that we got to deal with nationally and locally. We also have these hemp drinks or THC drinks that can be purchased for people under the age of 21. And gas stations, you know, we passed a bill out that said 21 and under, you know, it would ban it. But the regulations that come back from the Senate, and especially whenever it's coming in a conference committee, is too complicated to make that quick of a decision. And that failed 63 to 20 something. And people would think that it's common knowledge that we just need to go ahead and do that. But we wouldn't be in this situation to begin with if we would have took more time on the hemp farm bill to begin with, and we wouldn't have these loopholes with the synthetic products out there.
You've got a couple other issues that are lagging. What are we going to do about the liquor liability? I mean, we've got what you thought you fixed didn't fix really anything.
Well, look, any time that you make a move like that, it's not going to be instant. We can't force insurance companies. I mean, we can subsidize, but we see how well that's worked for the federal government and healthcare. But that's not our job to do. I sat through this whole insurance ad hoc rate committee. And as we're looking at liquor liability, the good news is we're starting to see some companies come back in. I've seen some of the breweries post that, you know, they finally have a company coming in with a decent rate. But how do you dictate as government to lower rates?
But you did get the shrimp bill passed, by God.
The shrimp bill.
Now, when you go to a restaurant, you're going to know that's South Carolina shrimp.
Everyone's got their own thing, you know. But, you know, it's important, I guess, to ensure that we are
for
protecting our fishermen,
or
our shrimpers on our coast.
I mean, Clint Boyd from Saltwater Seafood Markets, I mean, he's a very serious person behind this bill because he knows all these shrimpers down there and what has happened because everybody's trying to save 50 cents or a dollar on shrimp coming from Southeast Asia. I mean, it's crippled them.
It's ridiculous to me that we can get beef from overseas, shrimp from overseas for cheaper than we can get it right off our own coast. I mean, that tells you too much government to begin with.
Well, I hope that's just it, government. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's involved with the shrimping industry in terms of getting it from the ocean to the
table. Every one of these regulations, insurance, I mean, the liability from lawsuits, all of this stuff adds up, and that increased cost, and then it's being passed down to our consumers. But we shouldn't be able to buy it overseas cheaper. It blows me away that I can't ship something. Like, I wanted to ship a hat to someone one time, and it cost me $10 to mail it just from, like, here to Columbia. But yet, I can buy something off Temu for $2 and have it shipped all the way from China, and $2 covered my shipping and the product.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Makes no sense. All right. So, with that being said, this is a big day for Brandon Guffey because a piece of legislation that you worked on very hard and seriously actually becomes effective today, correct?
Yes. The Stop Harms of Addictive Social Media bill, that is, in my opinion, a model bill. You know, I always struggle with it. Do I want too much government regulating? And at the end of the day, I believe government should. It has a duty to protect our citizens and especially our children. However, with federal laws and the way that they are, we have to take a different approach. And with the Stop Harms of Addictive Social Media, this bill will only apply to companies that are $1 billion or more. Essentially, if anyone is under the age of 16 on a platform, they have to have parents' permission. However, we're not requiring anyone to upload an ID. So that's what makes it unique. We're saying these companies that are already using their algorithm to market to them, if they're aware through their own marketing, which goes through three tiers to guarantee that this is someone underage, once that they estimate that the person is underage, that's whenever verification comes in play or parental consent comes in play. Now, even if the parent gives the child permission to get on social media under the age of 16, then they won't have the addictive feed. So if they're watching videos, TikTok, it's not going to just go to the next video. So they're not going to fall asleep sitting here watching these. They also can't use algorithms to sit here and market. So if a child is, and you know, one of the big harms that we have is a child's looking for self-help because they're depressed. Well, the algorithm's not going to send them suicide ideation videos next because the algorithm's saying that you need to see this or this is what we think you like. So it becomes more of a daily update, a timeline-based feed as opposed to an algorithmic feed.
Now, this legislation didn't pass easily.
No.
I mean, the industry was trying to figure out a way to get Brandon Guffey to do something else.
That's where the good old redneck from Rock Hill comes into play.
Well, tell us about that redneck story.
Lots of games. I mean, the one thing people need to realize is it's far easier to kill a bill than it is to pass a bill.
Oh, yeah.
And while I can threaten all I want, you know, I held up 20-plus bills that I'm passing. I'm also vice chair of tech and communications for NCSL, tech and communications for ALEC, which are national companies as well. I held up a lot of this stuff just to get this one bill. But I told them, if you mess with me on this one bill, I'm going to hold regulation meetings every single week next year whenever we come in. And so in the House, no problem whatsoever getting it through. But once it got to the Senate, you start seeing the lobbying go from this lobbyist to another lobbyist. Oh, well, we need to put your name on it. And if they can get a senator to put their name on it, that freezes the bill. So then you have to go to those senators and say, okay, why are you holding this up? You know, you're on agriculture. Why do you care about this tech bill? And it's all due to that lobbyist might handle something within their group that they can help them push through. So I learned a lot about the lobbying side of things, the whip, the, I don't want to say threatening, but technically threatening. Like, you do this, every bill you send over, I'm going to kill. So don't mess with me on this bill. This is common sense, and unless you generally have a problem with it, then you're going to create an enemy for life.
Well, for those who are not familiar with all this, you had a tragic event in your life. You lost a son, Gavin.
Yes, sir.
Several years ago to the sextortion thing. And what you were able to do, you took that negative and turned it into a positive, adopted legislation on the first year that you put that bill in, and then were hauled over into the Senate to have them tell you we're calling this Gavin's Law.
Correct.
So I believe that the industry understands that when it comes to this issue, this man needs to be listened to.
Well, and I'll tell you, I couldn't got it done if it wasn't for people like Senator Johnson and Senator Clymer and Senator Bennett that spoke up and advocated on the Senate side. And a lot of people don't know this, but I had a cardiac event while during the Senate hearing of this bill because I was able to testify, and then Meta gets to come in and give their testimony full of lies, but I can't question them. And I just got so worked up, and I wasn't feeling well. Went to the EMT in the State House, and they wanted to send me to the hospital. And I said, nope, I got two more days to get this bill through. I'm not going anywhere. It's going through first.
Too much stress.
Too much stress. And I got my full stress test tomorrow. So okay. We'll see if I'm okay. But I feel good now. But just a lot of stress.
Ah, Lord. Well, what do they say? You know, if it was so damned easy, everybody would be doing it. Well,
yeah.
This ain't easy. When you're pushing like you're pushing to try to straighten out a serious issue that plagues this whole country, and nobody can identify with this more than Brandon Guffey.
Well, I've testified in 8 states this year. Gavin's Law is now national model policy as well, passed in 16 states, not always named Gavin's Law, but named after a child that's been lost in each one of those states. And the education portion of it is the most important part of the bill because 98% of the battle is awareness.
Yeah. I remember you going to the White House, sitting down there with Melania, talking about all this kind of stuff.
Yes, sir.
While the hearings were underway. I mean, it's a big, big issue, and I applaud you for what you've done on this. I mean, this has not been easy from a lot of perspectives.
Failing this younger generation, yeah. So we've got to step up and protect them.
Have we got 2 more hours to talk about that?
Yes.
My gosh. All right, we got to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relaxing with Founders, and by Caporium, making life easier. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and to Piedmont Medical Network, a community built on care. All right, here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, we know what we do here, fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters. And if you can read the King's English, you are allowed to participate at the count of 3. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, 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 slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Start your journey with a new auto loan. Get on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our competitive rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, with no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply for a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days before you start shopping. Visit one of our many convenient office locations or go to foundersfcu.com/auto to apply for an auto loan today. Membership qualification required. See webpage for details.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at andersongriggs.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Looking for internet that actually keeps up with your business? With Comporium Business Class Internet, you get the speed and reliability to make your workday easier. 400 meg up to 5 gig in select areas. Whether it's video calls, file sharing, or cloud access, you'll stay connected and protected with local support ready when you need it. Big or small, your business deserves internet that works as hard as you do. Comporium Business Class Internet. Fast, reliable, local. Visit business.comporium.com/internet or call 844-317-2537 to get started today.
Piedmont Medical Center is evolving to care for you, starting with a new name and look. Join us as we enter a new chapter as Piedmont Medical Network. For more than 40 years, we've provided comprehensive care for our community. Today, we're home to 2 hospitals, 4 emergency departments, and hundreds of compassionate physicians dedicated to caring for you. We are Piedmont Medical Network. Find a doctor at piedmontmedicalnetwork.com/about.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Such distinguished people frequent this place. Enjoy that, and the food is delicious.
The salads are the best in town.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. State Representative Brandon Guffey is with us. You have been very, very busy with a lot of these pieces of legislation to try to correct this issue that's involved because of all this technology that's out there. We talked about the Shazam. Shazam, yep. That's it. You've got another bill that has to do with an app store. Tell me about that one.
So the App Store Accountability Act was something we started working on almost 4 years ago. It was one of the first bills worked on. It's now passed in 16 states as well. And is being debated on the federal level. But essentially what it's saying is, just like you would have Walmart or Target, if they're selling a product that they know is harmful to children and they're still allowing children to buy it, then they could be held liable. So if they know that, you know, this app is extremely harmful and there's predators on it, they could go to the company and say, hey, you fix this or we're pulling you off the app store.
Oh, boy.
There's not but 3 app stores. So you're going to go through Apple, Google, or Amazon, one of those 3 to download an app, and Google and Apple being the biggest ones. Now, the downside is, you know, the social media companies are pushing for it and saying, yes, we want that, because all these lawsuits that they're losing, they could say, nope, it was the store's fault. They shouldn't have had it on there. And then the app stores, of course, are saying, no, the applications need to fix this. But
so this bill has gone through in?
It's gone through in 16 states, not here. That's one of the ones I held up this year.
Okay. 16 states, but not here. Okay.
Correct.
All right. Now,
and I was the first to introduce it.
Yeah, I bet you were.
But now I have worked with other states on it, but it will come back this coming session.
So you've got these bills in place. who's enforcing them? I mean, who's actually going to be monitoring to make sure that these people are doing what they're supposed to be doing?
So, I mean, typically, most of the time, it's the AG's office has to enforce it or law enforcement. We're having to put criminal penalties in there. It's whenever it comes to civil penalties, that's one of the problems is tech companies cannot be held responsible due to a law that was written in 1996 called Section 230 that stated that anything posted online, as long as the person's 13 or older, those companies cannot be held liable. It's protected. So we're adding in the civil liability. So like the App Store would say, App Store, if you're made aware of these harms and you don't pull that app, then you're going to be held civilly liable. So it's kind of going around to ensure that we can add some civil liabilities. And in my opinion, look, I'm not one for frivolous lawsuits, but the tech industry is the world's richest company since the inception of man, and they're the only ones without civil liability.
And they've been getting carte blanche by the United States Congress when they this whole new thing called the Internet came out.
Well, we just had Congress, and I'm so thankful that Congressman Norman just voted against the Kids Act.
Right.
It sounds great. We want to protect children. But all it does is it gives preemption. So it's stating that the, we as states cannot protect our citizens if the federal government says, no, we've already got this in place. And then it takes away liability from those companies even further.
So have you been drawn in any litigation as a result of all this kind of stuff?
So, I mean, I have a personal lawsuit against Meta. And I was not the, I forget what they call it, the bellwether case. But that lawsuit, they did find that YouTube and Meta were both creating addictive algorithms and causing harms to children. So my case is kind of caught up in that. They're appealing it. But that was just ruled a couple of months ago. I think they ruled like, I think $9 million in that case. And then we had a New Mexico case, $200-something million.
Oh, my.
And it's getting to the point where all these school districts that have been suing these tech companies, the tech companies are starting to settle. So that will be good. But then I also have the criminal case involving my son, which is the pretrial comes up on the 17th of this month. And we'll have to kind of see if that goes forward in trial or if a plea's offered. And
so the criminal case would go against the guy that they finally found and brought over here?
The man that we extradited from Lagos, Nigeria.
What a story that was. Oh, boy. I can't wait to someday hear the back end of how that was done.
But it's in the book. I kind of wrote about it in the book, too.
Great segue. So talk about what you're doing now in terms of your life since you got rid of your businesses and you're working on this full time.
Yes, sir. So for the past 9 months, I've been writing a book. It's the hardest thing I've ever done, kind of reliving your trauma. And, you know, you're trying to go off of everything of memory. And as Rep Sessions said, whenever I heard Brandon Guffey's name, I would have never thought I'd said author behind it. So it has been a hard process, but it releases in October. The name of the book is Tomorrow Needs You. A dad's journey of turning pain to purpose. And so it's just essentially my story and where we are at this point. But we're going to have a lot of changes coming up. I still have to do the audio version of it. And then do all the PR stuff starting in September and October as well.
So this has got legs.
It does. And we've got the film rights have already been assigned as well. So for them to work on a film to follow up with it. And I've been working on a couple of documentaries as well that should be coming out. One with Bloomberg. They're waiting on the trial to finish before they can put that out. And one with PBS Frontline as well.
Jeez. Wow. Good for you.
All this has been, you know, I was talking to Stephen Federico earlier today and just talking about fathers grieving and trying to move forward. And he was saying he feels like he's moving so fast. And I said, look, man, I'm almost 4 years. July 27th will be 4 years since I lost Gavin.
Wow.
And you're moving so fast that it kind of takes your mind off things and you don't realize what all you've done until you step back and take a look.
Well, and when you sit here and listen to this, what we've done in 30 minutes, it's quite an accomplishment. I mean, it's quite a number of things that you've done in a very short period of time. And I still am amazed at how you were able to deal with the grief and get back and use that as an impetus to get something done. Good for you.
That's having two other sons.
Yeah,
and
good.
You got to lead by example, and whenever I don't feel like getting out of bed, it's what advice would I give my son?
There you go. Well, with that, that's a perfect segue to say thank you very much for being here on Straight Talk today. Keep up the good work, Brandon Guffey, and we'll get you back here when you become a movie star, okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right, that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, making life easier. One more time, here we are at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Toy Ray has just come in here. He knows what we're going to do. Fresh subs and salads, we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it in the white letters for all those of you who can read. At the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.